Wrestling with Kayfabe back at it again. DJ Pop Show with you.
What up, what up?
A little behind the times here. But Survivor Series has gone and past, come and past, gone, come and past, you know. A really strange writing of Raw versus SmackDown matches. Raw completely swept SmackDown, and then Raw beat SmackDown again. So I guess Raw is the better brand.
Right. Yeah, it was interesting how they booked it, because usually... I'm not even mad at it, because I feel like usually... I get somewhat annoyed because it's too predictable. Like, you know, if
right.
Raw wins the first match, SmackDown's going to win the second match. Or, right. You know, usually it's very predictable to set up for the last match. They didn't do that this year. And I thought it was interesting. It was interesting how we got there, for sure. But talking about the first match with... the men's Raw versus SmackDown. I thought that was really interesting how they booked that. And a clean sweep,
mm-hmm.
which you don't see too often at Survivor Series, I feel.
Well, not with, you know, rosters that were the top guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, King Corbin, Jey Uso, who's been getting a massive push lately, who we'll talk about his run on SmackDown last week here in a minute, but... you know, it's not like SmackDown had up-and-coming guys. I mean, these were their, you know, main card to mid-main card guys. And they got swept by Raw. And I understand that Raw had up-and-comers with Matt Riddle, or I'm sorry, Riddle.
Forget he has a first name.
You know, Keith Lee. So I get why Raw may have done that, just to... push their younger guys more. Not like Keith Lee's all that young, but push their newer guys more. And then we saw that as more evident in Riddle and AJ and Keith Lee's triple threat match last night, which was very good. AJ wins, so it'll be AJ McIntyre. Yes, please.
Right, that's going to be very good. And how about wrestling with Kayfabe, predicting it the whole way through?
Yeah.
Exactly what we thought was going to happen. Man, I'm really interested to just see the whole picture of Raw. I'm interested with... I haven't seen how long Braun's going to be out. Have you heard about that at all?
I didn't hear about that.
I know he's hurt. That's why they wrote him off in that segment last week.
Hmm.
And that was the reasoning for that.
Well, I heard speculation of that he was going to interfere in the triple threat match, and he was going to be the guy that was going to face McIntyre, which...
Interesting.
You know, is that's fine. You know, I think that would have been a good match, but, you know, AJ McIntyre is the way to go. You know, to put McIntyre over stronger, and at least keep him on the belt till... Just keep him on the belt to WrestleMania this time, please. You know, don't take it away from him again. Just kind of let that be. And it seems like WWE, we're just confused as to where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had Orton, you had The Fiend, and you had McIntyre. Now, obviously, they did a good job of combining all three of them together story-wise. But they didn't know where to go with it, and that was obvious. So they gave it to Orton... And then they gave it back to McIntyre. So, obviously they knew they could not let Randy Orton lose again at a pay-per-view. But, they were just going to throw Orton in a feud with The Fiend. But they wanted McIntyre to be the champion. So, I don't know. I didn't really understand that. But, now you're getting Orton Fiend, which obviously was coming... Anyway, with Alexa Bliss in the mix, and I've really liked what they've done with her, throwing her in there and changing how she is, and her match with Nikki Cross, not this week, but last week, was fairly well done, I thought. You know, I think she kind of dusted over the top sometimes, but, you know... Believe it or not, I think they're getting better at storytelling.
Right, and I really like the fact of the continuity they're holding in the Fiend Orton rivalry, mentioning, mm-hmm. you know, burning down the Shack and, you know, their rivalry around WrestleMania 34, that would have been.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole theme of the Fiend, is that he never forgets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you just have him rival Orton for no reason, then there's no point. But, and yeah, it's just well done. And probably that has Bray Wyatt's anywhere to go over it.
Absolutely. But, you know, one touch that I really, like, enjoyed, and I don't know why, because, so usually I don't like the whole brand t-shirts when mm-hmm. when they wear them.
Mm-hmm.
I like infusing the brand with, like, your attire, right. but right. just the straight-up t-shirt I always thought was kind of silly. But this year, they kind of got me with in a silly way, too. But I like the fact that they're both on different networks, and they put the mm-hmm. USA Network on the back of the Raw t-shirts and the Fox logo on the back of the SmackDown t-shirts.
Well, they finally have an excuse to make it seem like an actual battle.
Uh-huh.
Because they were both on the same network, so it didn't really matter. But, you know, they're on different networks, and they're two, you know, different shows in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, you know, it made it seem more like an older style Survivor Series match, like mid-2000s. Obviously, it didn't mean much, but it made it feel like that.
Right. Hey, and that's what wrestling's all about, right? Make it right. feel like it mean, you know, it's a big deal.
Right, and we were way wrong about who the fifth person was going to be. It was Otis.
Right.
which didn't make any sense, really, but... I don't know. If you're going to push him, I guess go ahead. But I get it. But then again, who else were they going to put there, I guess?
True.
So I don't know. You know, he's a mid. They needed a bigger guy, probably, and they didn't really have one.
Otis is quite the interesting character to me.
He is, yeah.
I can't quite put my finger on.
He reminds me of Trevor Murdoch.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Bigger like Trevor Murdoch, who actually came to Kansas City after WWE and wrestled in that...
Metro Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, Metro Pro Wrestling. Yeah. Which I don't think is a thing anymore.
I'm not 100% sure. I know... I mean, who knows through the year that we've had
mm-hmm.
with COVID and everything, but... Man, I think Raw right now is kind of, minus the women's division, is doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I like that The Miz is holding on to the Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
I think The Miz is, like, best when he has kind of something to hold on to, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, like, you know, the mid-card belt or...
Right.
The Money in the Bank. And I hope that he ends up, you know, cashing in and becoming world champion again. I think he deserves one more run, at least, as a world champ. I think The Miz has been a very solid performer and, you know, a guy that's always there. He's always there when you need him to be. And, you know, I mean, flat out, I think he's just a good performer all around.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's gotten a lot better.
Absolutely.
You know, when they gave him the title the first time, you're throwing him in there against, you know, Cena, and I think he had a couple of matches with Orton. And those guys were just so much better than him at the time.
Right. This is long before he, you know, has hit his peak now, right. where
and
he's
it,
at.
It just wasn't his time. And it wasn't believable that he was beating Cena or beating Orton. And even with the help of Michael Cole, which was the most annoying heel turn of all time, but it worked because right. it was just so goddamn annoying that you just hated The Miz even more.
What did he call his Cole's...
Coal miners.
Yeah. And was in the little box.
Yeah.
That was great. I loved it and hated it at the same mm-hmm. time, absolutely.
Which was abruptly ended by Jerry Lawler's heart attack on the show.
Yeah, if only they would have ended that properly at WrestleMania 27, and mm-hmm. I was really upset when the next night they announced that King lost due to interference. I thought that was really stupid. You know, one thing that nowadays... the way that they've structured WWE at this point that I don't like, and I know people are kind of hit and miss on authority figures, just I think mainly because of the authority in the last, you know, 10 years or so. But I like the authority figure of a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that gives more continuity to these, you know, like Survivor Series, an event where it's SmackDown versus Raw. You know, because there's nobody like... I feel like there's almost no reason at this point. Like, I get it, you want to show you're the superior brand, but at the same time, like... You know, with a GM or a commissioner or any type of role like that, that gives that just that much more, like, you know, there's somebody that's really, you know, counting on this team and putting this team together. They want the best team out there. And
right.
I think it just adds to the whole story of the yearly tradition that is Survivor Series.
Yeah, I mean... It's hard to picture WWE without it. I think, you know, it just kind of culminates the whole brand in general. It makes it, you know, show their best. Paul Heyman has an interesting role in all of this. His I don't know what his character is getting at right now. Because they were trying to talk about that the other day on another show. I don't know if it's in fear. I don't think anyone knows if it's in fear of Roman, in awe of Roman, or just in. It's strange. And how he is watching this match. We're kind of going back and watching the team match on Survivor Series. How he's watching this match in the back and just staring at the TV. And watching Jey Uso wrestle, I don't know if it's... I don't know. I don't get it. It's interesting. It's a different Paul Heyman.
Maybe even that he's kind of in shock. Because if you think about, you know, his relationship with Brock Lesnar and, you know, that being his client for so long. And, you know, obviously we don't necessarily know where they stand at the moment if Brock were to come back or anything. But... Right. There's a lot of dealings in there with Roman Reigns. There's two WrestleMania main events. There's a lot, and I think that he's dealt with Roman Reigns so much, and this character switch of Roman that has happened, I think that he, you know, may just be somewhat in shock of what, you know, Roman Reigns has kind of become.
Right.
So, I don't know. Either way, like, I mean, it is great. I think that Roman Reigns... might be the best thing that's going on in wrestling right now. And especially with, I think, really when you look at both champions, like, both brands have a really, really solid champ. And two champions that are probably doing the best work of their career at the moment.
Yeah, and they had a really good match at Survivor Series. They just beat the hell out of each other, which is what you expected. And I think Roman, they were talking about it, I think it's going to be Kevin Owens first, which, you know, I'm fine with that. I'm all for Kevin Owens getting what he deserves. And then they said it'll be Daniel Bryan, which, again, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, please let it be. Because that will
absolutely
be easily some of the best matches of the year, if not of all time. And then... I think people underestimate how good Kevin Owens is.
Absolutely.
He realizes that Matt Riddle is not wearing shoes, so he's just stomping on his feet. And literally, and he headbutts his foot. I mean, but it's just, you know, it's just beautiful ring psychology by Kevin Owens. Rollins just got eliminated from the match for the greater good, according to him. Obviously, the greater good is him not being on TV right now because of Becky about to be pregnant or about to have their first child. You know, so for the greater good. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, we don't need to go over this whole thing, but just I didn't get the 5-0 sweep, really. I didn't understand it. It could have been 4-1. When Jey Uso was left, I went, oh, okay, Jey Uso's going to eliminate all five of them. Nah, never mind. All right.
I think Uso should have at least eliminated one of them, but I do... Right. The only reason I do understand the 5-0 is mainly just to progress the story with
right.
Roman.
And looking at it now, that's obviously what they were doing.
Right.
But at the time, it's like, well, that was pointless. I mean, you just kind of ruined the whole thing. But now, looking at where SmackDown's going, you went, oh, so that was just a full angle for SmackDown. Okay.
Right, right. I know, they get swept 5-0, but yeah. Really, you know, that was for them.
Yeah.
Which, a little bit of irony there. I mean, all in all, a little bit confusing. But you know what? I don't think that it was as bad as the women's match.
No, the women's match was terrible.
We're going to get to that in a minute, because let's talk about something good first.
Yeah?
The match of the night. The Street Profits.
Biggest match of the night?
I think so. Well,
it was.
I think so.
It was
definitely
up there.
Between that and Roman McIntyre, probably. Mm-hmm. But the Street Profits versus the New Day, man, I was all for this match. A lot of athleticism, a lot of just good tag team wrestling, really. Like, both teams are extremely well, work extremely well together. Obviously, the New Day has been a consistent for a long time now, and... I'm excited to see what will come of the Street Profits. I really like them. Really, since we've been doing this podcast, I have just recently kind of got back into the like weekly product and actually watching WWE on a weekly basis and kind of really paying attention to what's going on. So I hadn't really seen much work from them. I knew that they were in NXT around the time that I kind of stopped really paying attention.
Right.
So in the last like couple of months, they've really grown on me between their little rivalry with who was it? They Almas and Garza on Raw. And I honestly didn't even realize that they had went to SmackDown. They went to SmackDown on the draft then.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? I didn't really understand that either, but I wanted a heel turn here from the Street Profits, and it was interesting because the New Day kind of wrestled as the heel in this match.
Right.
I don't know if people noticed that or not, but they were gloating the whole time. They did things that were heel-ish. That's something you didn't really see from the... I mean, Xavier Woods was talking trash the whole time. It was kind of the older New Day.
Right.
And I didn't mind it. You know, I mean, if it's going to be him and Kofi, you know, they might as well rebrand New Day a little bit and make him more of a heel. And honestly, I liked it. I mean, it's not like they were overbearing or anything. It was just really a well-booked match and how they worked over Montez Ford the whole time. And they went after one body part. You know, they went after his ribs, they went after his midsection, and that's just something you don't really see much of anymore.
And just like we were talking about with KO.
Right.
In-ring psychology, man, it's huge. And, you know, it really makes a match feel, you know, like a fight, you know, when you really, you know, work somebody over, you know, whether it's an arm, whether it's a midsection, like, you know, we saw in this match. Or a leg, or a foot, like we saw with KO. You know, it just adds that value, and then especially if you got somebody that can sell it well, and I feel like Montez Ford is definitely a very good seller, and he showed that off in this match. But yeah, the work from New Day was great, and seeing them, you know, I think it, like, kind of played up as, like, the Wily veterans type thing, basically, and that's... you know, kind of made them the heels of the match. And it's just, it's great storytelling. I mean, it's what wrestling is all about.
Right. Well, I mean, the promo that the Street Profits cut before they came out was great.
Uh-huh.
And I think, I'm sure they showed that in the ring to, you know, New Day as well. So, you know, just all in all, just a really well-booked match. And a beautifully executed match. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of good things coming to the Street Profits. And hopefully, we see them turn into something great and maybe a heel team in the future. Hopefully.
Yeah, I think they could definitely do some good heel work. And, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with both of them teams going on their own brands. I like them both as champions. And I think that both of them show that they have the ability to put on absolutely amazing matches. But that was really, I think, the most enjoyable match for me of the night.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Survivor Series.
Yeah. You know, I didn't hate the Sami Zayn-Bobby Lashley match. I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. I did enjoy... this was the match that I almost, I think, most dreaded going into it.
Right.
I wanted to skip it as soon as I got to it, but I was like, no, I need to watch it. I need to see what happens. And I feel you. It wasn't awful.
It's two good wrestlers.
Absolutely.
I mean, and Sami Zayn is such a good seller.
Mm-hmm. It's just two guys that, man, I just don't get excited for Bobby Lashley or Sami Zayn, for real.
I've gotten more excited about Bobby Lashley now that he's in the Hurt Business.
I do enjoy the Hurt Business, and I love the way that they use the Hurt Business in this match. When Sami went to go take the turnbuckle off, mm-hmm. and they came up and tied it back down. When he would get out of the ring, and they would corner him, and then the finish where, you know, the trip happened with MVP at the top of the ramp. That was fun too.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, yeah, really, really good match and good storytelling within the match. And I don't know. I'm interested to see how this character continues to progress with Sami Zayn and his whole conspiracy theorist gimmick.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to continue it and make it new. I think, you know, he's been given something that's hard to sell, and he's doing as best he can with it. I don't think anybody else could do it, though. I don't think anyone could make it an annoyance like Sami Zayn could, and a good annoyance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think anybody else would, it would suck. And at least for Sami Zayn, he's good at it, and it looks like Big E may be getting his shot at Sami Zayn, which, I mean, you know, I'm all for Big E Sami Zayn. I think that'd be a good match, too.
Yeah, man, how long has Big E waited for a singles push?
A while. But I think they haven't really known what to do with him since he's been in the New Day for so long. And the New Day has done so well, you know, that it hasn't hurt him being in it.
You know, absolutely. So. But, I mean, even if you think about before then, he was brought in as Ziggler's bodyguard. Mm-hmm. You know, they played that up for a while. Then he went singles and, you know, kind of didn't do much. I think he won the IC title at one point.
Maybe, yeah.
And that's about it. And then after that, you know, not too long after that was the beginning of the New Day.
Mm-hmm. And then here was a match that Asuka and Sasha Banks, that is, you know, that is two probably the best female wrestlers on the rosters right now, outside of the injured Charlotte. This was okay. You know, people say it was a really good match. I thought it was okay. You know, then again, I'm not that sold on Sasha Banks like some other people are. I think there's better wrestlers than her. I think Bayley is the better wrestler. I would have liked to see Bayley Asuka. You know, I think Bayley has just really captured this heel character better than a lot of people have over the years. It reminds me of Trish Stratus's heel turn. Just it's so good that, you know, you almost forgot that for, you know, for 5 years, Bayley was the most annoying face of all time.
Right. And, you know, absolutely.
Now she's just this dastardly heel. It's a great nod to how good she's become over the past year and a half.
And it's really what she had to have for her career.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was a pretty good match. It was a good technical match. But the biggest thing about this match to me is it's stale.
Yeah.
We just saw this rivalry.
Well, they kind of ruined this match because of what they did previously.
Absolutely.
With it.
I think for me, that was the biggest detour because I watched it and I enjoyed it, but at the same time, like, I was halfway in, I was just kind of over it. I was just like, all right, I'm ready for the next match. And I enjoyed both Asuka and Sasha Banks. I think that, like you said, I mean, they're at the very top of the card. I mean, when you look at women's wrestlers in WWE right now, I mean, the people that come to mind are Charlotte, Sasha, Asuka, Bayley, Shayna Baszler. And, you know, like that, there's...
Well, when
Alexa.
Right, yeah, when Becky comes back.
When Becky comes back, of course, yeah. So, you know, you definitely had a great match, but I think that it just, you know, was stale because Survivor Series is very much, you know, I think we look forward to these matches that we don't see, you know, and we don't see these wrestlers together, but, you know, we just saw a fairly lengthy program between... you know, Asuka, Bayley, Sasha, and Kairi Sane. So, and speaking of which, what the hell happened to her?
Well, her contract was up. July?
That makes more sense.
And she was not going to come back. So they, you know, kind of booked her into a not coming back corner because WWE does that sometimes.
Gotcha.
And I can't remember where she went. I think she went to the All Women's Wrestling in Japan.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, she might be still waiting out her non-compete clause.
Yeah. But I think all that's up. So I think she went back to Japan.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, the Asuka-Sasha match was good, but, you know, it could have been better. Speaking of something that could have been way better.
Man.
The Cross-SmackDown Women's match. This was just a massive letdown, even though obviously there weren't that many good wrestlers in it. You know what? We don't mention her enough, but Natalya is up there on the women's roster wrestling-wise.
Yeah, she's like a... Man, let me try to think of a person that she reminds me of. Just because she's like... She's up there, you're always... You know, she's always going to give you great work.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't necessarily think of her as like the top... you know, woman in, you know, the division.
Right. And, you know, it could just be, you know, that she's been there for so long that her age kind of deters that from being the top female. But she's definitely one of my favorite wrestler female-wise, just strictly from a wrestling standpoint, because she's so clean. You know, she's so good at it. And she's had really good matches with other great wrestlers. And it shows, you know, when she's in there with some of the better ones. But this was just... If you're gonna book it like this, obviously make Shayna Baszler the monster that she is. And they did. But, you know, it from a realistic standpoint, it's hard to believe that Ruby Riott pulls off that spin kick to the midsection there. I mean, Shayna Baszler is a trained, you know... mixed martial artist, so she knows how to counter stuff. And I don't know Ruby Riott's background, and maybe she has some training of some sort, but, you know, to convince people that Ruby Riott moves faster than Shayna Baszler and understands how to counter things faster than Shayna Baszler just isn't true. And I think Shayna Baszler does a good job of making sure that that realistic line is blurred just so it's, you know, it's not so Ronda Rousey-y and more of a wrestling standpoint.
Right.
And then Nia Jax just knocks everybody over.
I think this match, like, there's so much potential. You know, all the women that are in this match, a lot of potential, but I think that's kind of where a lot of these ladies are at right now. On the card, you look at, like you're talking about Ruby Riott, the Riott Squad, her and Liv Morgan.
Right.
Bianca Belair, I think that a lot of people think she's kind of next up to, you know, break the ceiling, into that upper echelon.
Right. I think she's feuding with Bayley now, which, you know, would be interesting. And then they tag in Natalya.
And then let's see what she's got. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I think that's definitely a very good prove-it rivalry. Mm-hmm. I saw on Twitter somebody saying that they wanted her to win the Women's Royal Rumble.
It's too early.
I think that unless Charlotte is not healthy, I think it's almost obvious with Charlotte.
Flair win that damn Royal Rumble again. You know, it would be so annoying of WWE to do that. I mean, obviously, they're probably going to do it. But if you hear Charlotte Flair's music in the Royal Rumble, prepare for Charlotte Flair to win the Royal Rumble again. But if she's not in the Royal Rumble, it could be Ronda Rousey.
Man, okay, I could see that.
And then that sets up your Becky Lynch, but Becky would have to be the champion, which she could potentially be. But,
yeah, realistically, we're in December right now. Right. And realistically, I could see Becky coming back by March.
Right.
You know, winning the belt in March and, you know, get ready for a showdown at WrestleMania.
Right.
And then again, just kind of like to go more on the potential, like, of the women in this match, Peyton Royce and Lacey Evans out there. this storyline in this match was ridiculous, though. Having Lana stand out on the steps and literally cry. I mean, we talked about Roman Reigns and how, like, you know, at first we were kind of like, what the fuck is going on with him crying in the ring? At least that added to the story.
Right.
Like, at least that did something. I mean, she is literally like whimpering in the corner.
It was a dastardly, you know, cry. It wasn't a sad cry.
Right.
But
and the entire women's roster is making fun of her. Like, even the SmackDown team over there, the Raw team, they're all, you know, kind of in on it together. And the fact that it was a double count out to in the match for Lana to be the sole survivor was just, I mean, it's comical, right? I mean, it's comedy wrestling.
Yeah, and apparently all the SmackDown Divas are heels because of how they're cheering on Bayley, but they all hate Bayley, so I don't, like, it didn't make sense.
Right.
I don't know. What they've done with Peyton Royce is stupid. If you're going to give her a singles push, don't put her back in a tag team, which they did. It's actually been a better break for Billie Kay. Because Billie Kay gets to show that she's actually funny. And she's done some funny bits, you know, with Michael Cole and Corey Graves. And just, if you're going to break up a tag team, and obviously the better wrestler was Peyton Royce, then make her the better wrestler. Don't put her back in a tag team with Lacey Evans, who you tried to push and didn't work. I don't know. This was just a bad match. Didn't make any sense. That's impressive, though. I mean, you know, that's...
Yo, Bianca Belair holding up Peyton Royce
over her head and was not shaking at all. I mean, that's... I mean, Peyton Royce is probably, I don't know, you know, 120-ish, 130-ish.
Right.
And that's not light for anybody.
Absolutely. That's, I mean...
And then we fast forward through the women's matches, so you know. But here is the main event of Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. And Paul Heyman is just selling the fact that he's just... I don't think Paul Heyman has looked away from Roman Reigns once in like 3 weeks.
Right. He's in awe of Roman Reigns.
It's great. It works. Absolutely. I get it. You know, it's a totally different feel from Brock Lesnar. I think that's what Paul Heyman is trying to get over, is that it is not Brock Lesnar take two. This is something different.
And Paul Heyman, man, I mean, can we just, like, sit back at the fact for a moment and just... Paul Heyman is just maybe the greatest wrestling mind ever.
Yeah, I think he has a lot of great ideas. He had some terrible ideas when he was in charge of Raw. But, all in all, I'd give him, you know, he's up there. I think Shawn Michaels has been underrated in his mind of wrestling. I know people think because he's been a dick. But he's had a lot of good matches, you know, and that's
absolutely
not, and that's, and don't think he didn't call the shots in the matches, because he definitely did.
And it goes more to even, you know, past wrestling ability.
Right.
Like, I absolutely get what you're saying
right.
with that.
And, you know, Triple H has a really good mind for the business. And Bray Wyatt. I mean, it's hard to beat a guy like Bray Wyatt and his mind for the business as well.
Yeah, that's true. But Vince at one time had a great mind for the
Vince
business.
Vince at one time, you know. But this is still Vince's product, you know, and it's not like he doesn't have the final word, because he definitely
absolutely
does. I think people just, it's fun for them to say that Vince McMahon isn't that good anymore. But the man runs a $1 billion company, and you're watching every week. So for someone who's not very good anymore, you seem to sure watch a lot.
Right. Absolutely. All in all, this match, I think, delivered. I think that talking about Reigns and McIntyre, between this match, the Street Profits New Day match, and to a point, the Bayley Oscar match, I think we both kind of had the same feeling.
Sasha.
Oh, yeah, Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
My bad.
But
I think we both kind of had the same feeling. Like, it delivered, but it's just kind of burnt out already, you know?
Right.
Just for the simple fact that they just had a rivalry, and, you know, Survivor Series is all about these matches that we're not going to see. And, I mean, this is a perfect example. Roman and Drew McIntyre, I think, was very exciting because of the fact that we haven't seen them face off, and they're both in this kind of sort of career renaissance where, you know, who wins, who loses, do either of them look weak in a loss? And I think they both showed to us, no, neither one of them looked weak in this loss.
Right. Well, I mean,
for McIntyre, at least.
Well, they did it where McIntyre gets choked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not a weak finish, you know, for a champion to lose to another champion. It was literally, you know, to McIntyre's figurative last breath. To where he lost the match, and, you know, it makes Roman look like a bigger heel, you know, for choking somebody out, especially the size of McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best ending possible, and they both just hit such a home run in this match. And it looks like McIntyre leaving WWE and then coming back a couple years later was literally the best thing that could have ever happened to him.
Absolutely. He got hit with that slice of humble pie.
Right.
And really made him work to become, I mean, one of the best wrestlers in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, and the fact that Roman Reigns, where he's at, and, you know, like, just even how I feel about his character right now is shocking to me because of, you know, you look at the mid-2010s, and, man, I was so sick of seeing this man pushed. You know, like, I felt like,
well, he
not that he didn't have any business to be on the top of the card, but, man, can we stop just feeding him main event after main event?
Well, for me, he lost his steam when they put him against Cena, and the promos were just so vastly different.
I was shocked that they let Cena do that to him. Because Cena absolutely wrecked him. That night where they had the back and forth,
yeah.
And I can't remember exactly what was said, but kind of something to the fact, like, you know, oh, you don't have anything to say, this is live TV.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
You gotta step up. And,
right. It's called a promo kid.
Yeah.
And just
genius. And, like, the closest to heel Cena we're gonna get.
Right.
And it was very enjoyable.
Right. And I guarantee you John Cena was not handed a piece of paper before he went out there.
Exactly.
They literally said, just do with what you see. And Cena is one of the rarest guys, other than maybe, you know, The Rock, who goes out there and sees what he sees and just cuts the most perfect promo. Edge is another guy who cuts the perfect promo just by looking and seeing. Ric Flair was really good at it. Those are probably the top promo guys. You know, Ric Flair, John Cena, The Rock,
Stone Cold,
Foley. You know.
Yeah.
I would put Foley over Stone Cold.
I'm not mad at that. Just because of the psychology and character work. Because he could go out there any night as a different character and play that character, you know, to a T. While, like you said, kind of seeing everything unfold in front of him. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And number six on, I mean, I'm not going to go 10, but 5C is Becky Lynch. I think she has proven, you know, that she is arguably one of the best wrestlers on the mic ever. And there was not a time where I saw her with the mic and go, oh, I'll put this on mute. I wanted to hear what she had to say. You know, because she was just so damn good at pulling you into, you know, a conversation. And even with the crappy line she got with Ronda Rousey, calling her Ronnie, you know, calling her, you know, whatever she was calling her, she made it work. And it's hard to do that when WWE hands you something and they think it's funny and it doesn't work.
Suffering succotash. Yeah, dude, I wish that, you know, I'm... Half of me says, whatever, you know, let the writers write, but make it more of like a 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, let
the wrestlers do what they want to do. If you're going to give Cena a 90-10, you know, cut, if you're going to give Triple H a 90-10 cut, if you're going to give Orton a 90-10 cut, because I guarantee you Orton doesn't get the script anymore. You know, if you're going to give, and probably Roman doesn't get one, well, he might. Paul Heyman probably writes his stuff for him. But Roman's gotten way better at promos with his heel turn.
Absolutely.
You know, he understands to slow down 5 words every 10 minutes, you know, when he speaks. Make everybody listen to you. And another guy, I know we're kind of running just on your thoughts here, another promo guy, Jake Roberts.
Yeah, absolutely, because he had that very just like you were saying, kind of slow delivery, like it was very impactful what he's saying. Absolutely.
So all in all, I mean, I know we're a little behind the ball on at least Survivor Series summary, but I guess we just kind of jammed everything into this episode, didn't we?
Absolutely. All in all, Survivor Series... Well, okay, I guess we got one more thing to talk about. We have to talk about The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk about Undertaker 30 and the debacle that was Undertaker's farewell. I don't think it was awful, and I did enjoy it very much, but the fact that they brought everyone out and they all disappeared was absolutely ridiculous to me. And I understand, kind of, I don't necessarily want them in the ring when Undertaker comes down, because that was kind of like a moment that needed to be by himself. But at least, why weren't they like behind Vince? What was the point of even bringing them out? I mean, to be fair, I mean, I popped every single time that, you know, somebody's music hit, really. I mean, when The Godfather came out, I was shocked. I was like, holy shit, we got The Godfather tonight. I mean, that's awesome.
I think it was just, none of them were going to speak. You know, I think it was just kind of, these are the people that, you know, have impacted his career the whole time, and blah, blah, blah. You know, Shane McMahon, this is the first time Shane McMahon's been on TV in like a year, or close to it.
Right.
You know, 6 months, which is...
Well, since, they were doing Raw Underground.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind.
That disappeared, huh?
Yeah. just to show how much Shane McMahon has made an impact lately. But yeah, he did that Raw Underground, didn't he? But
the best part for me, though, is everybody comes down in a suit. Everybody's having a good time. Kane's music hits, and he walks around the corner, full ring gear, ready to go. I cracked up when I saw that.
Yeah,
I
thought Big Show looks good, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, Big Show did look really good.
It looks like he's under 400 pounds. He's probably 3-something.
Yeah, good for him. Because, man, you remember when he really working his ass off for that match with Shaq. I can't remember what WrestleMania that was supposed to be, but he was in the best shape of his life at that point, it seemed like.
Yeah.
That is a big dude. But,
JBL, wow. Or, no, who's it? Yeah, that's JBL. Yeah, okay. I mean, they were talking about wrestlers who retired and never came back. JBL is one of those guys. Uh-huh. He literally retired and said, okay, see ya. Yeah, and obviously he's making millions elsewhere, but that's such a shame because I loved JBL. I know some people didn't, but he just literally kicked the shit out of people in the ring.
As a wrestler, he's great. Yeah. And I think that as a wrestler, I mean, his heel persona, at least, is very fitting to the person that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is a piece of shit, but...
I've watched interviews with him and I've listened to him talk. I don't know how much of that was people's feelings, how much of that was actual. Because I've heard other people talk about him, and I've never heard more other people say that he's a fucking dick.
I'm sure it's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure that he's from the old guard of wrestling. I mean, plain and simple. I mean, I get it, you know, like, and I mean, that is the old guard. The old guard, you know, fucks with people and new people. And so how about Mick? Mick looks wild.
Well, he's probably gearing up for his Santa Claus run again.
Yeah. But he looks like an old crazy fucking dude that you find sitting outside of a 7-Eleven or something. Asking for change.
It's good to see him move, though. Because it was for a while there, he just looked, you know, as much pain as you possibly can. But I think he had those surgeries. He's been doing DDP yoga. And he looks way better just from a movement standpoint.
Yeah, that's definitely a dude that should not be able to maybe even walk.
Well, he wasn't able to.
Really?
And they very poorly.
Right.
And then he said he had his hip replacement and his knee surgeries.
Damn.
And then he started doing the GDP yoga, and he said he feels way better. And he looks way better.
Yeah.
You know, him just walking down to the ring, it wasn't like, oh my God.
Right, and he hopped right up on the apron and got in the ring real easy.
And that's good to see, because he literally almost killed himself every night for the business.
And even before, like, his run in WCW, the dives out onto the concrete, and, man, some of the shit that he did. I really liked Hardy's face paint for this. I thought that was great. And then when he closed his eyes, you know how he does eyes, and it looked like eyes rolling back in his head for the Undertaker, had the Undertaker logo on his face. Now, forgive me for being a younger wrestling mind, but I don't know who the hell the Godwins are.
I don't either.
They said one of them is Midian, so that's the only reason I know somewhat. Huh. But then they're both old, and I can't even tell which one is actually Midian. I want to say the dude with the beard right here, with the gray beard, but...
Yeah, I don't
I can't tell for sure.
Yeah, maybe it was a group they formed before... I don't know. That's the first I've heard of it.
So the other biggest thing that I wanted to really harp on in this is Vince did not look good. Vince did not look good at all, I didn't think.
From a health standpoint?
I guess it's just weird to see him finally look his age. He looks old. He seemed old. You know, the speech that he gave was very, you know, stammering around and, you know, not knowing what to say. And I know it was an emotional moment and, you know, that has to go into the context. So, I mean, it may just be me, like, perceiving it as he's old. But at the same time, like, some of the stories that you hear, like, even the continuity within the... you know, the product of him not remembering what's going on last week to this week and things of that nature, it just felt like you kind of saw that. He just looked a little bit lost in the ring. He dropped WWF.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
That's the first time he said that in years.
And he seemed to, like, really break character. Like, you know, this is, like, Vince McMahon the person. Mm-hmm. This was not Vincent Kennedy McMahon giving
well,
this.
Well, you know, we don't see Vince McMahon the person on the show.
And that's very true. So, you know, like, for me, it was just kind of, like, really sorting through trying to figure out if, you know, he really just seemed old as shit, or if, you know, I'm just not used to seeing him in this light. And I think that's probably definitely a big part of it, too.
Right. You know, and yeah, he does look pretty thin here.
Right. You know, because, I mean, shit, he was on the cover of, what is that magazine? Muscle and Fitness
Muscle
or whatever.
And Fitness, yeah.
That iconic, you know, where he's got the chain and, yeah. I mean, he was like, what, 60 there, damn near?
Yeah, he was pretty old there. He was just...
jacked.
Jacked, yeah. Yeah, he was absolutely jacked.
Well, I'd be happy if I looked like that at 35.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously age has something to do with, you know, him not being jacked anymore.
Absolutely.
But, I don't know. Yeah, I think people expect him to be, you know, that all the time. I mean, the man's 80-something years old.
I think as wrestling fans, we definitely see Vince as invincible.
Right.
I definitely think that I think that in my head.
Right.
Because, you know, just everything that he's been through and, you know, I mean, he is, in a sense, he is the wrestling business.
Right.
You know, he is what created what we know of wrestling now.
Right.
And then going through the Undertaker's, like, walkout, and I thought all of this was just, this was awesome. The fact that they raised him above the ring when he came down to the stairs was beautiful. And the moment that I was like, man, half of wrestling fans got to be tearing up right now when they had Paul Bearer make a...
Yeah, that was, you know, cool.
That was, you know, really cool.
We talked about it on our Chloroform Clash. Paul Bearer is really the main reason why The Undertaker worked.
Yeah.
It was hard for... In the early days. And even in the Attitude Era, I think Paul Bearer was a big part of Undertaker's character working so well. Just that weird, you know, sinister way Paul Bearer did it, it made people get the Undertaker's character more. But
absolutely.
I really like how Undertaker Mark Calaway has broken his kayfabe and done interviews, and they've been really fun interviews to watch.
Yeah, and I think that is. Man, that's really awesome from a fan standpoint, because I think that any wrestling fan, like, can appreciate that much more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you spent 30 years as this character and never broke.
Right.
And I think that's kind of just like almost a respect thing to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, now it's time to put the Undertaker away. And here I am to tell my stories that, you know, all the stories you never heard and,
right,
you know, that were always speculated, or, you know, these stories were told by other wrestlers, but, you know, you were always like, well, the Undertaker, are you sure that's the same Undertaker in this, you know, road story that, you know, because you just think that he's always the Undertaker. I think the funniest story, I can't even remember who was in the car with him, but they were driving through a shitty part of town somewhere, and they got lost. And it might have been, I can't think of his real name right now, Brother Love.
Oh, Bruce Pritchard.
Bruce Pritchard. It might have been him. And Undertaker was in the passenger seat, laying down, sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of people, they finally asked for directions, a bunch of people come up and are, you know, kind of like threatening to rob him and, you know, saying that they need to cough something up for, you know, if they want directions. And the Undertaker sits up and looks at them, and this dude just freaks out. Was like, there's a dead man in your car. Like, I mean, I'm sure this is like the early 90s. So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it looks absolutely insane. He's probably still, you know, full gear damn near, you know, makeup and shit. So, but they told that on, I can't remember what the WWE Network that show is, but they do the little cartoon drawings, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw it on that.
Yeah, I can't remember what that's called.
But... And just that was one of the funniest stories, I think, that I've heard of just Undertaker.
The Undertaker looks thin here, too.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Undertaker is not a spring chicken either.
No, but I mean, he looks fit then. He doesn't look, you know. Because right. Normally, you know, he's probably around 340, 350.
Mm-hmm.
Here, he might be under 300 pounds. You know, and he's 6'11", so that's going to be different than, you know, 6'2". So, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. All in all, Survivor Series, I think, was a solid show.
I gave it a 6.
A 6 out of 10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll say about the same. Yeah, I was going to say 3 out of 5.
Yeah, well, yeah, 3 out of 5, 6 out of 10, that's about the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the solo matches were actually pretty good. The team matches, which is the whole point of Survivor Series, were pointless.
Yeah.
But, you know, they did their best with it, so.
And this whole, the whole farewell Undertaker kind of saved it at the end for
mm-hmm.
me. You know, it was a nice way to end it. I'm happy that they ended with it. At first, I was kind of surprised because I didn't watch it live and watch it the next day. So I kind of scrolled through to see the match listing on the network and saw that was last. And I was a little bit surprised. But after watching the whole show, I was really happy with it because it just made you feel good at the end. You were happy. Hit you right in the feels.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got more stuff coming your way. We've got, we weren't sure what we were going to do. We've got a review coming up of a pay-per-view. We're going to figure that out. I know TLC's coming up next. Could just be TLC match. Who knows? But we've got a lot more stuff. We appreciate all the views on YouTube. That's been a great surprise to both Papa Schroeder and I. Keep it up. I mean, you know, the only thing we're really missing is subscribers. And we love to do it, and we'd love to get more. And for the one person who disliked us, fuck you. Take a seat. You really had to dislike the video? Really? You're the only person? You had to be that different? Are you that guy? Are you that guy that sits
DJ,
at home?
They just want to show their opinion,
are
man.
I feel like they're the person that hates the movie Hurt Locker because it wasn't realistic enough for them. You know, they're the kind of person that thinks Will Ferrell wasn't funny. You know, you're just one of those guys. You know, just stay in your mom's house and chill out, okay? I know disliking YouTube videos is your thing, but just stop it. Just stop it. Get some help. You know, but for everybody else, thank you. We're going to keep this shit going. Like I said, we'll talk to that review. We're not sure what it is, but it's going to come. We're out of here.